1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto us as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man shall be made manifest. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be able to teach the Bible tonight. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you'd meet with us in a special way. Help us. Lord, give me clarity of thought and focus as I preach the scriptures. Lord, most of our folks have put in a long day. Many have worked hard. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us. Give us kind of a spiritual alertness now. Lord, help us to be hungry to hear from you, and give us something from your word that's going to help us, Lord. Thank you again for Wednesday nights, the opportunity to teach the Bible, and Lord, our prayer time afterwards. And Lord, we ask now, please, your presence, we need it in the service now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seen in. We're going to jump down and begin in verse number 9. Let me just briefly review. In the first four verses, we covered eight characteristic traits, eight attributes of a carnal church. And sandwiched in those, packed in those four verses are eight very specific attributes that Paul addresses as far as carnality. Last week, we looked at verse 5 through 8. I told you if you took a piece of paper last week and you put a line across the top and a line down the center and you wrote God on one side and you wrote Apollos and Paul, or the spiritual leadership on the other side, you would see that there are some very definite things that is said about God and some very definite things that are said about the preachers that God had sent to this church. Let's not get the two confused. Amen. Let's not get the two confused. I worry about some folks that talk more about a certain preacher than they do Almighty God or Jesus Christ. Excuse me, that's not a sign of spirituality. In verse number 4, it says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" That's a sign of carnality. Paul and Apollos are identified in these next handful of verses as ministers by whom you believed, men who plant and water. They are said to be neither anything. They are proclaimed to be one, so there's a unity, even though folks were trying to divide them. And number 5, men who will receive a reward. Now that's compared to God Almighty. While Paul and Apollos were ministers by whom you believe, God was the sender of those ministers. While Paul and Apollos were men who plant and water, God was the giver of the increase. While Paul and Apollos is said to be neither anything, we find out that God is everything. When we see about Paul and Apollos that they are one, we see about God that he is the one who unites and empowers the workforce. And then we see that Paul and Apollos are men who will receive a reward, but God is the rewarder of those laborers. Now we're going to shift gears as we drop down into verse number 9. Paul has taken this chapter. He's addressed the core problems of carnality. He then very definitely divides him and Apollos from Almighty God and teaches the people the responsibilities of each and the position of each. Now we're going to look in verse number 9. We're going to get into the study right now. This is new stuff. Now the focus shifts. He's addressed the spiritual leadership, Paul and Apollos, the ministers of God. He's addressed God Almighty. And now he's going to talk about the church of Corinth. the individual members, the people there that make up the church of Corinth. Verse number 9, for we are laborers together with God. Now notice this, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Now this is very important that we stay true to the scriptures and we interpret everything that comes after that based on the proclamation that's been made in this scripture. Now Paul compares the local church to two things here. Husbandry means some type of a farm. A farm probably is the best definition of that. You could say it's a vineyard or a farm. The church is compared to a farm, and laborers are coming in to work on that farm. And then he shifts and says, not only are ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Now the rest of this does not go back and touch the idea of the church being as a farm. But the honest truth is, every farm that exists in Indiana today, at one time, it had to be cleared and somebody came in and was the first farmer that farmed a particular piece of property. Does that make sense to you? And this is what Paul was. Paul was that original farmer that came, cleared land, planted the first crop, started the farm, the first farm of Corinth, the first Baptist farm of Corinth. He's the one that started that. And then if you go around and look at the farms that we have now in Indiana, by the way, there's been farms that were started way back then that have gone back to wilderness in Indiana. I'll bet you could go to parts of Indiana and somebody would tell you there used to be a farm there, but it's all grown up and you know what? You can't hardly tell that there was ever a farm there. You can go to other places where not only is there still a farm, but every generation since that first farmer has made improvements on that farm. It's more efficient, it's more effective, it's better run, it's prospered, it's grown, it's gotten nothing but better. Does this make sense to you? That's the idea that's being given here, because now the rest of it is going to go back to the idea of the local church and the people of that church being God's building. God's building. Now we're going to look at the local church as a building. Now, I got to help you out here, and we all got to help each other out here. If we're not careful, we drive by here on a Monday and we point to somebody that's in our car with us and we say, that is my church, and you point to the building. That's not what this is talking about here. It's not talking about the proper way to construct the facilities or the structure that the church meets in. It's talking about God's people. It's talking about the congregation. Listen, folks, I think you all know this, but it's good for us to say it. The church is people. The church is the congregation. We've all said this, but the honest truth is, if some preacher came through on a Monday and he said, hey, I stopped by and wanted to see your church, I know what he says, I don't know what he's thinking, but if I was going to show him my church, I'd have to get him in a car and go visit y'all at your workplaces and houses and say, let me show you the church. And what he means is, I want to see the structure, I want to see the building, I want to see your church plant. But when the Bible's talking about the church and talking in this portion of Scripture about a building, he's talking about a congregation, a local assembly. Now keep that in mind. Now, starting in verse number 10, we are going to take a look at the ingredients in building, the ingredients that were necessary in the building of this local church. Let me start with the first and most important ingredient. That is, for any building, and especially for the local church, the local assembly, you must have a proper foundation if you're going to have a good building. You're going to have a proper foundation if you're going to have the right kind of building. Now, when we went out here and built this building out here, we had guys in here that have poured concrete, and you've helped with concrete, but all of the men agreed, you know what, let's get Brian out here, let's get Brian Sluter out here, let's let him oversee that. He called some men from Indianapolis that came down and spent half a day with us, that this is all they did. You know why we took the extra time, we put the extra money, we put extra resources in that? Because I guarantee you, if that foundation's right, a lot of things are going to go right afterwards. If that foundation's wrong, you're going to fight that building all the way through. Now, folks, that's the way it is in the local church. It says in verse number 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Now, Paul is the first one there. Well, the first one there is the one that gets to choose to lay the foundation. And you know what you'll find out in most churches, if you go back, most churches were born in revival. most churches have the proper foundation if they are Bible churches. Now, I know that there's Catholic churches that were built. I know that there's other new churches that were the offspring of false teaching and these type of things. But I'm talking about the average Bible preaching church. You go back and look in their history, somebody showed up probably and started preaching Jesus and holding up Jesus and lifting up Jesus. And guess what? He drew all men unto himself. If you're going to build a church, and it's going to be the right kind of church, then it has to have the right kind of foundation. Now, so that no doubt is left, verse number 11, very specific, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, Blessed Old Baptist Church, we can never forget this. We have got to remember that the proper foundation upon which every one of us is trying to add and build and grow this ministry, that foundation was started, and back in 1973, it was started as the Lord Jesus Christ, and it needs to always remain as the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some things we can do, but one of the things you don't want to do is mess with the foundation. Don't mess with the foundation. Can we change the foundation? Yeah, if you want to tear the church down, you can change the foundation. If you want to destroy a ministry, you can change the foundation. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things you can do in a remodeling project at your house, but let me suggest that you decide not to start by trying to rip out the foundation. If you rip out the foundation, that house is coming down. Now, the minute that Jesus Christ is not the foundation of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we decide that we're going to shift everything we've built to a new foundation. All you're going to do is destroy everything that's been done up to this point. Are you with me on that? Aren't you? You know, I feel blessed. Brother Tim was talking to me today, and Brother Paul was talking to me this weekend. Brother Paul was talking to me this morning. And you know, one of the blessings of pastoring Blessed Hope Baptist Church is because of the fact that it was started right. It was built right. You have a group of Christians, for the most part, they get it. Folks, I don't know if you understand how blessed the people we are. You'd be shocked at how many churches are confused about what the foundation's supposed to be. Now, if you put them on the spot, they'd tell you that they think it's supposed to be Jesus Christ. But if you watched everything that they did, it says everything but that. They're not really trying to build on Christ. And so the foundation, I think that that's fundamental. I think that that's very obvious. I don't think we need to belabor it. But we just need to accent the importance of making sure that the proper foundation is Jesus Christ in every single thing that we do. He's the rock. Anything else, you're building on sand. You may build a nice looking building. There's people that's building churches right now, and you know what? The foundation isn't Christ, and they look all right, but it goes back to the parable. You know what? When the storms come, when the winds howl, when the waves crash, that thing's going to come down. Something that's built on a rock will stand the test of time, okay? Now, so ingredient number one, if you're going to, in the building of this local church, Paul said, was a proper foundation. Number two, let me give you this. Ingredient number two in the building of this local church was I'm going to say exactly what's in the scripture, was the necessity of a wise master builder. A wise master builder. Now, again, in verse number 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. So, folks, you can say that Paul's being proud, but he's not, because he's writing under the inspiration of God. These truly aren't Paul's words. They're God's words. God sent these. He's preserved them for us, for our consideration. So God wanted it to be pointed out that God chose to use Paul here as the, when this is the phrase he used, as a wise master builder. You say, Brother Jerry, what does that phrase master builder, what does that title encompass? Let me first of all say this. Paul saw it for what it was. It was a grace gift. It was not something that he was born within himself. It was something that God graced him to have. A wise master builder. This is a grace given by God. God gives by his grace to some men, now stay with me, the wisdom and knowledge to be a chief or a master constructor or builder. Now let's see if we can put this in a context that we can understand. Most of you men that have had any kind of construction background, or you've been involved in any kind of a building or partial construction of a building, you understand that we have nowadays what we call the general contractor. Can I tell you what that man is? He's the wise master builder. You know what? His job is, he is the contractor who oversees the construction. He oversees all the other contractors and the skilled laborers. This is the man that plots the course. This is the man that double checks how everything is done. This is the man that confronts problems and fixes problems and finds things that are faulty and insists that they're corrected. Why? Because he's not so much worried about everybody's feelings. He's worried about whether or not that building's going to stand down the road. He's not worried about making everybody feel good all the time. He's worried about whether or not when the storms come, that building is going to be safe. Listen, children's going to be in that building. Teenagers are going to be in that building. Families are going to be in that building. That building comes down, it hurts a lot of people. And so his job is to be a wise master builder. Now, this, of course, in this portion of Scripture is talking about the pastor. It's talking about the pastor of this church. I believe Paul specifically is speaking about him as a pioneer church planter. A pioneer church planter. Let me just say it out loud. You know what? Pastor Robert Ross is a wise master builder. That's who God used to come in here, lay the proper foundation, and begin the construction process on a church, a local church. And you say, Brother Jerry, when's the construction going to be over? It shouldn't be over till Jesus comes and raptures all of us laborers out of here. All right? I mean, it's not ever going to be done. We're supposed to keep building. We're supposed to keep improving. We're supposed to keep adding. But I will tell you this, and I think most of you that have been around a little bit, you'll agree with this. There are some men whom God has just given the wisdom, the knowledge, the gift to be a wise master builder, to be that person that can come in and take a situation and figure out what needs to be done and begin to take that thing up and onward and forward, keeping the foundation proper, keeping the construction process on time, fixing the problems that need to be fixed, making sure that proper materials are brought onto the site and that faulty temporal materials that are going to cause danger in the future and risk the lives and the safety of the people that are in that building aren't used. And so that's what his job is. Anybody ever been a general contractor on a job? You know, if Brian was here, I think he has. I'm going to tell you, David has. David's been. I guarantee you, he's not always the most popular guy on the job site. He's not always the most beloved guy by the subcontractors. You know, he's not always the one that they're going to vote at. You know, they're not going to show up on his birthday with a big cake and probably throw him a surprise party. I'm just telling you. Yeah, I mean, come on. You know what? Because if something's not up to snuff, he's going to tell you about it. If you don't like it and whine and cry, he's going to say, get over it or I'll get somebody else. Now, listen, I'm not saying that a pastor ought to be that caustic or that mean, but can I tell you something, folks? What we're building here is 100 times more important than any building that's ever been built on the planet. And you know what? This church nurtures and shelters and is the gathering place and the growing place of baby Christians and little children and teenagers and future moms and future dads. And folks, we can't... Listen, if you're a builder here and you want to be in the building process, then you know what? You can't overreact to every little time that a wise master builder has to say, we're not doing it that way. No, we're not going to take that shortcut. Well, preacher, it could be done faster. It may be, but I can't look at just what needs to be done to get you done today. I've got to think about how it's going to affect it a year from now, and 2 years from now, and 5 years from now, and 10 years from now. And so that's what a wise master builder does. It's a grace given by God. Some men are blessed with wisdom and knowledge to be this chief or this master constructor or builder. And, you know, and like I said, we refer to him in this day and age as a general contractor. But he oversees the construction, oversees all the other contractors, all the other skilled laborers. And folks, listen to me. A church that is blessed with a pastor that does not shy away from these responsibilities and is willing to do the tough jobs and take the hard stands and sometimes ruffle feathers, you know, don't do anything but go home every single night, get on your knees and say, thank God we've got a preacher that cares enough about the long haul, that cares enough about my children, cares enough about what this church is going to be like when he's in 6 feet under in the ground, and whether it's still winning souls and still doing right, than he is about appeasing every Tom, Dick, and Harry that walks in with a new idea. Okay, so keep this in mind. So we have a proper foundation, then we have a wise master builder. Okay, what is the other elements or ingredients in this local church? Well, there also must be a willing and wise workforce of builders. Look at verse number 10, the last part. Paul said, I was the wise master builder. I was the one that laid the foundation, and that foundation, by the way, was Jesus Christ. He says this, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, what's great about a wise master builder is he tends to attract people with a builder's mentality. You know, the ability for this church to go forward, this ability for this church to go past where it is right now is going to become more and more reliant on how many people in this church will say, I'll take a part of this project, I'll oversee a part of this project, I'll be willing to work extra and see that this gets done. Preacher, I'll help in this ministry. I want to do a part on this. That's great. That's great. You know what? We have a lot of folks in the church that have a builder's mentality. Brother Lonnie Manningley said years ago, there's people in your church that are maintainers, and there's people in your church that are builders. Let me say this. Blessed is the church that has builders. Blessed is the church that has somebody that doesn't take something and just say, okay, how do I maintain where it's at? Instead, they say, how can I, by God's grace and underneath the wise master builder's oversight, how can I take this on to the next level? So that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I talk to preachers a lot. I talk to preachers that struggle a lot. That's my heart. That's my passion. I try to be an encouragement to them. If I could tell you how many pastors are pastoring a church of 40, 50, 60 people that have said to me, preacher, if I just had one family that would come in with a real servant's heart and just say, preacher, let me help you build. Most people want to come into church and they just want to watch other people do the building. And that don't mean they're bad people. It doesn't mean that they're unsaved people. But we've just kind of lost our pioneer spirit. I'm telling you, Blessed Hope Baptist Church is blessed here. We're blessed with the fact that we have a lot of people that have a builder's mentality. And I think that God's blessed us with that. I think in some ways God gives preachers what they are, they reproduce what they are, and we certainly are blessed here. Now, let me talk to you about those of you that are involved in this workforce, this wise workforce of builders that's going to continue to build the work. The foundation's been laid. The wise master builder started the building. Since then, there's been other men that's built upon that. Some have done it well, some have done it poorly. But the Bible says here that we need to take heed how we build thereupon. Okay? Now, let me give you a couple things underneath this. Every man in this workforce should put his labor into the... every man, I believe, in the local assembly ought to put a portion of his labor into the building of the local New Testament church. Now, it says here, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, let me just give you a thought. Yeah, it's just good. Every once in a while, a preacher gets up here and reminds you. I wouldn't send a kid to a Bible college to train for anything where it wasn't a Bible college, it was strong local New Testament church. I don't understand people that want to be a member of a church, but you know what? All their labor for the Lord, they want to do outside and away from the church. Okay, I mean, come explain it to me sometime. I'd love to hear it. I know some people are just too proud to put themselves underneath the oversight of the wise master builder. If they can't be they want to be their own master builder and they can't do it in the local assembly, they'll go do over here and do their own little thing. But I'm telling you, we need every one of you putting some time in here building the ministries of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Upon this rock, I'll build my church in the gates of hell. It wasn't promised to anything you wanted to start. It was promised to the local assembly, the Church of Jesus Christ. We need you to do that. Oh, you don't understand. 27 years ago, I tried it one time, and I didn't get it long well with so-and-so, and this bad thing happened. So ever since then, you walked around with your little owie and your little excuse about why you don't get involved, but that's a bunch of baloney, humbug, bah humbug. Get over it. Big deal. Good night. You know how many times I have my feathers ruffling? You know how many times we... Come on. So what? It's called life. It's called working with people. It happens. So what? It happened to me this week. It'll happen to me next week. I'm not going to send up my letter of resignation. Come on. Not everything's easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it what's going on around here. And so put your efforts here. Put your efforts here. By the way, if you're not going to do that, stop trying to draw people over to what you're doing and away from the local assembly. I don't have any patience with that. I'm not supposed to have any patience with that. I just wish Christians would get excited about the local church again and decide that this is where some of your labor, a lot of your labor should go for the Lord. Don't get infatuated with every para-church organization that comes floating through town. And I got an explanation once about that from a preacher that I thought was excellent. He said, you know why most people either want to be a part of something that they're not directly involved with? Because they don't have to show up there. That person that they deal with through the mail or emails don't actually know them. They don't have any oversight on how they live. They don't, you know what, they can put themselves out as being anything they want to be. But you know what, if you show up here every day and you work, guess what, you're going to be held accountable day by day. You can't just talk the talk, you actually got to walk the walk. And so don't be afraid of that. Man alive, this is what it's all about. Let's build a church. Let's let it go forward for Jesus Christ. So I believe that every man should put his labor into the building of the local assembly. Let me give you this thought about this willing workforce, hopefully a wise workforce. Every man must be careful what material he uses. Look in verse number 12. Now we're going to talk about that, and we'll get into the materials a little bit deeper in a minute here. But let's stay focused on the workforce. Because folks, a lot of times, where does faulty materials come from? Faulty materials come from, okay, Sunday school teachers, look up here a minute, Sunday school teachers, master's club leaders. I'm not down in your meeting every day. You're in charge of building the lives of those that are part of this church. What kind of materials are you using? You know, I mean, if we were over there building this building, and all of a sudden somebody came in one day when we were framing the walls, and they had big giant strips of styrofoam. You know, and they were over there shaving them down to 2x4 size. And I was like, what are you doing? Hey, man, this was outside of a business. They threw it away. I said, well, what did you bring it here for? Well, it's cheaper than 2x4s. I just thought I'd build a couple walls out of this. And if I'm the overseer, if I'm the general contractor on that job, I'm supposed to say, attaboy! Way to go, you know, I mean, everybody here ought to just, you know, exercise their liberty in Jesus Christ and do whatever they feel is best. I don't want to interfere with the way the Spirit's leading you. I said, no, I'm sorry. My kids and my grandkids are going to be in these classrooms. Guess what? We're not going to use styrofoam for 2x4s. We're not going to do it. We're not going to use faulty, cheap material, temporal material that can't stand the weight. We're going to use tried, tested things that are going to stand and carry the load and meet the specs. That's what we're going to do. Makes sense? And so, hey, listen, everything that you're involved with around here, you need to be very careful what kind of materials you're bringing in on the work site here. We'll talk about those materials in a minute. Not only that, but this workforce, every man must be careful of what sort his work is. Notice in verse number 13. You know why? Because one of these days it's going to be tested. One of these days it's going to be tried. It's going to be tried. Every man's work will be made manifest, will be tested by fire. And again, we'll talk about that in just a moment. Now let's look at these proper building materials, okay? So we got a proper foundation laid, Jesus Christ. Let me say this. That was done at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We had a wise master builder come and build on that foundation. Pastor Ross was using that capacity. Other men have come after him and built. I'm in the process of doing that right now. And everybody that comes in and takes a part of this ministry, you're helping to build that thing also. You know what? So be careful. Take heed how you build thereupon, okay? Now, what about the proper building materials? Well, we're giving a list of 6 possible building materials in verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Now, gold, silver, and precious stones are eternal. They are eternal. They represent eternal. By the way, these are also very valuable. They're very expensive. Notice this. They do not change. You ever thought about why gold is worth money? Why do we have a gold standard? Why not an iron standard? You know why? Because iron rusts away. You build something out of iron, it's going to rust away. Guess what? You can take gold and it's never going to rust. You know, that's what makes gold valuable. Do you understand the thing that makes gold valuable is because it's virtually, God created this thing to be virtually indestructible? Okay? So, these are precious, expensive, valuable building materials. They do not change. They do not rust. They do not rot. You know what? You could take a bag of gold coins, you could bury them in the ground, and 200 years later you can dig them up, and the bag would be rotted away, but those coins would not have been affected one bit. You can clean them up, and they'll be just like they were when you put them in there. They, you know what? They don't rot. They do not disintegrate. They're immune to insects. You know, nobody ever left a gold coin out, came back, and, oh, man, termites ate it. Oh, God, my gold bars, you know, stinking. No, they're immune to insects. They're immune to time. Time doesn't diminish them. Climate changes doesn't diminish them. Listen, and the most important things about these materials, gold, silver, and precious stones, because, folks, all of these things are true, but you know what the test is in this portion of Scripture? It's not termites. It's not climate change. It's not being buried. You know what the test is? Fire. Fire. Now keep that in mind. Now the next three we have is wood, hay, and stubble. Those are temporary. They're relatively inexpensive. They burn. They rot. They can be destroyed by insects. Time, climate changes. And the worst thing about these materials, they will burn. Now that's very important. So we're talking about proper building materials. Now, let me say this. If the proper foundation's been laid, the building's going up, now it's our generation, it's our turn to build thereupon, what are we going to bring in? Are we going to bring in temporal things? What's this whole chapter been about? Are we going to build with carnal things? Are we going to build with carnal things? Are we going to take a foundation and build on that foundation and add to the building that's already been started and start bringing in a bunch of styrofoam 2x4s? You know, I don't want to build on with those things. Okay, we've been handed something precious here. Let's continue to build with the proper materials. Listen, I'm talking about bus captains. I'm about Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about VBS, our VBS week. What's going to go on in your class? Is it going to be spiritual? Are you going to use eternal things? Are you going to build those kids' lives with eternal things? Or is it all going to be about carnality and fun and frivolity and at the end of the week, nothing eternal and nothing lasting will happen in these children's lives? And so make sure that you're using the building materials to build the church of God, the proper building. Use eternal building materials to build the church of God, not temporal, not earthly materials that will not stand the test of time. Now let's move on. I'm going to tie all this together when we get done. We see the ingredients of the building of a local church: proper foundation, wise master builder, willing workforce that's willing to pick up and take off and continue the work, proper building materials that are eternal. Now, at some point, this is all going to be tested. Let's continue to read here. Every man's work will be made manifest, verse 13. For the day, notice that, for the day will declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. There will be a day when the building will be tested with fire. I want you to think about this. There will be a day when the building will be tested with fire. That day there literally or figuratively means a period of time. There's going to be some time period where that's tested. There's going to be a time appointed where that is tested. There's going to be a day or days or a set year where that is tested, and it will be tested with fire. Now, let me just first of all go by on record by saying I believe that ultimately this is talking about Judgment Day. I believe this because it fits. Jesus is described in Revelation chapter 1 as his eyes were as a flame of fire. Everything that we've done, everything that we've built, you know what? Jesus with one glance can incinerate everything that was made of wood, hay, and stubble, and all will be left is that those proper materials that were made and built in the process of the building, the gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, this testing, this building, again, is talking about the local church, and the local church are people. Are people. Now, fire often tests a person or a church. Let me say this. I understand it's talking about judgment, but if you think that's the only time that fire is going to test what we're building here, then I am not taking liberty at all with this portion of Scripture to say, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, there's been fires come through and sweep through here in this local assembly before, and if you think they're all done, you're kidding yourself. Say, Brother Jerry, man, things seem to be going good and great. I just love being able to tell people about the church, and so do I. Brother Jerry, are you seeing something on the horizon? Is there something brewing we should know about? Not that I know of. But I'm not a fool either. You think that you're going to, hey, those of you my age, you think we're going to go the next 20 years and this thing's not going to be tested with fire? You don't think it's not going to be tested with fire? You see, I know that. Anybody here that has any amount of maturity knows that. So you know what? We want to keep combustible material off the job site. Okay? Because people are going to be tested with fire individually. Church members in here, some of you already have. Some of you have gone through it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But let me tell you something. The reason you're still sitting here is because you didn't use junk material. Okay? And churches as a body, corporately, will sometimes be tested with fire. Now folks, listen. Oh, Brother Jerry, I don't know if I want to stay here. I mean, everything seems so narrow, and you take the Bible literally, and you really expect this, that, and the other. And man, I could go down to this other church. Folks, they built the whole thing out of styrofoam. One of these days, somebody's going to light a match. It'll probably be one of the deacons when he's lighting his cigarette in the backyard, you know, and he's going to forget where he throws his Marlboro, and that church is going to experience a fire, or it might be the preacher for that matter, or it might be the preacher, who's a woman, I don't know, and her little cigarette. I don't know. But somebody's going to start a fire sooner or later, and you know what you're going to see? Whoosh! You're not going to have time to get your hot dogs and your hot dog sticks. It's going to go up so fast and so furious, and it's going to burn so hot. And you know what? There ain't going to be anything. Oh, no, I don't. Listen, folks. You can get all excited about these new ponies that are, you know, every time a new pony's trotted down Main Street, everybody's got a new carnal, earthly formula for building a carnal, earthly church. But man, it's just a fire hazard. It's a fire trap. You take your family in there, they're going to get burned up. Have you watched it? Come on, you've been around. I know these new couples and teenagers, maybe you haven't paid attention, but anybody that's been around this area for 20 years have watched these little explosions. You know, this church all of a sudden comes in with this new pony idea, and boy, all of a sudden all the parking lot's full, and everybody's going, well, maybe they ought to. Nah, you know what? When I was young, I used to think, well, maybe we ought to go find what's going on. Now I'm just like, well, God bless them, but I know sooner or later that same parking lot's full is going to be empty again. You know why? Because if you build on carnality and you track carnality, then you got to deal with carnality. And you know what carnality does? Carnality runs to every new show in town, but as long as the flesh is kept happy, they'll stay. And the minute that they don't get their way, they're going to run to the next, you know, pony and dog show in town and try it again. There's a reason that this church has some stability. There's a reason because we've had people that have stayed here. And you know what they've been willing to do? They've been willing to listen to master builders. They've been willing to put in the right materials. They build it not only in the church, they build it in their life. And you know what? Fires come, fires go. Fires have touched my family. Fires that will touch your family and has touched your family. But you know what? We're in church tonight. We didn't quit on God. I mean, it's worth building your life with the right materials. You say, Brother Jerry, you keep talking about eternal materials, gold, silver, precious stone. Folks, what in the world is eternal? Well, God is eternal and God's word is eternal. Here is where you want to get your building materials. Here's where you want to test your building materials. If any building material comes in and doesn't match up with this book, just get it out of here. Because sooner or later, that part of the building is going to crumble. That ministry is going to suffer loss. Something's going to go down. And so you can't take shortcuts. Folks, listen to me. Build your Christian life on a solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ, with proper biblical principles that will stand the test of time and stand the storms and stand the fires and all the things that will happen. Guess what? A marriage that's built on these principles will stand. Children that are raised on these principles will stand. In the long run, they'll stand. Churches that are built on these principles will stand. You use a bunch of junk, and you know what? You're just going to, one of these days, witness a tragedy. And you're going to watch it burn. And it's not just the fact that it's burning, it's all the years of labor. It's all the people that's going to be hurt. And so, that's why the wise master builder from time to time is going to say, no, we're not going to do that. No, we're not going to go there. No, we're not going to use that method. Oh, but Brother Jerry, it's working. Well, okay, so it works. You know what? If it's wood, hay, or stubble, I don't want it on the property. Because it may work, but it also burns. And we can do better. We can do better. And so, fire will test a person or a church while here on earth. Yes, I know that this is talking about Judgment Day. I don't have any doubt about that. But that word day there, I think, goes broader than that. It's talking about a time appointed or some appointed times. I think that Paul wrote in Ephesians, he called it the evil day. That's why I think that the armor needs to be put on. Why? Because that sometimes you're going to face those evil days. First Peter wrote this, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning," notice this, "the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come," notice this, "that judgment must begin at the house of God." You know what that means? That means God's allowed some fires to sweep through the church house. Yeah, you know what? Sometimes things just need to be burned up. Sometimes there's been a bunch of junk stuff been allowed on property, and God's just going to send a fire and burn it out. He's going to make us rebuild some things that weren't built right the first time. You know what? The churches that have the most fires, the ones that keep bringing the junk stuff back in. Listen, I don't want to have the Jaceville Volunteer Fire Department on 911 on speed dial on my cell phone. And I don't want to have to deal with it here in the church constantly. And so to keep from dealing with fires, what we do is we try to keep the wrong materials out so we don't have to worry about fire hazards in the first place. So let me just send a signal. Let me just make this very, very plain, okay? You know what? We don't need carnality. We don't need carnal methods to grow the church. We're not interested in what other carnal churches are doing. We're not interested in it. We're not interested in our music program. We're not interested in our children's programs. We're not interested in our youth group. I mean, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Some of the largest youth groups are made out of, they're not even made out of wood, hay, and stubble. They're made out of paper mache. Got a big group, a bunch of spoiled brat, carnal, little heathen kids. That would, you know what? If they were in a Bible drill, it'd take them 15 minutes to find Genesis 1:1. They're not taught the Bible. They're not taught to pray. You know what? Everything's built on carnality. Everything is for fleshly glory and fleshly purposes. And they watch the flesh glorified, and they think that's how you become a good Christian. You glorify the flesh. But when a fire comes through, you're going to have a mess. And so, amen. Amen. You know what we need? We need spiritual teenagers. We need to build spiritual children. We need to build spiritual young couples. You know, hey, let me just help somebody. We have an influx from time to time, new people, and I'm glad you're here and I love you. But you know what? If you walked in the door and you looked around and thought, first thing I need to do is fix some things around Blessed Hope Baptist Church, why don't you work on fixing you? Maybe what's wrong's not us. Boy, there's an idea. Maybe you just wandered out of a carnal situation and everything looks a little odd because it's not the way you're used to. Okay, just, you're welcome. I want you to come. But you know what? When you pull in the driveway, keep all your wood, hay, and stubble in the back of your truck. We don't need it here. Yeah, if you'd get this, you could say amen in church. You could even smile in church. You could even act like you enjoy church. But you want to tell me what we're doing wrong? No, excuse me, I'm not interested. Okay, you know why? Because the fire will destroy the parts of the building that was built using wood, hay, and stubble. And guess who's in this building? These little children are in these building. These boys are in these building. These little girls are in this building. These teenagers are in this building. Young marriages are in this building. Family units are in this building. Senior saints are in this building. Now, sorry, you're not going to bring that junk on the property. Okay? The fire, listen, folks, the fire will come, but it will have no effect on the parts of the building that were built using gold, silver, and precious stone. Again, I'm talking about these are eternal things. These are the eternal, tried and true, unquestionable principles of God's holy word. They will stand the test of time. One of these days, I'll stand before God. Every one of us will that had a part in building this church from this day forward. If you've got your hands in any part and you're helping build this church, you're going to stand and answer to God one of these days. And we will be judged according to whether the part of the building that we invested in, that we built, whether or not it lasts the fire or not. I know there's ways to build bigger and faster, but I also know that they use junk material. I think we're just going to keep plotting the course here. I think we're just going to stick with soul winning, just stick with standards, stick with conservative Christian music. We're just going to stick with the stuff that's been proven for all these years. We're just going to stay right there and keep doing it. And we're going to do it week in and week out. And you know what? While this church over here goes, whoa, look, and this one over here, whoa, and in a couple months, you'll just watch Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We'll just keep building line upon line, precept upon precept. And by the way, listen, that means probably sometime, if you're here a member very long and you're given something to do, that your preacher may have to come to you and say, uh-uh. Now, why don't you decide tonight? I mean it. Why don't you pre-decide how you're going to react to that? Why don't you pre-decide how you're going to react to that? Well, see, Brother Jerry, you don't understand. I've got this, and if I do it this way, this is going to make this. Now, give me your ear for one more second, and I'll be done. We've said these things, but we need to say them again and again. Okay? One of the things, we've got ministry directors here, and I appreciate that. You don't have any idea how much help it's had just having ministry directors take some of the load of the ministry. But the problem with ministry directors, or Sunday school teachers, or a bus captain, or a children's church person that oversees, or a master's club person is, you know what, and I'm glad that you do this, because you know what, that's your part of the ministry, and you get fixated on that, and you want that to succeed, and you're coming up with ideas, and there's things you come in and you want to do. The school's that way. There's certain people that are school people, and, oh, Brother Jerry, if we could just do, but you know what, you're just working on that one part of the structure. Guess what, I don't get that opportunity. Everything you do there affects the rest of the building. And yes, what you may be asking me might benefit your ministry short term, but if it hurts the entire building long term, then there's times I've just got to say no. I've seen this. I've seen it when I was down with Brother Russ this weekend. He had a guy, he's a good guy, solid guy, but you know what? He asked him to oversee a part of the ministry, and the guy's fixated. And he judges everybody else in the church on whether how passionate they are about his pet project. And I want to say, son, listen to me. And he, you know, he's gotten to the point where he's got even a little critical of his pastor. And he said, you know, he wants to say, well, you know, I don't know why pastor. It's because, listen, I want you to imagine. You ever seen somebody spin those plates? You know, spin a plate on something? You know, I put 10 ministry directors here, and they're all spinning 10 plates. Every one of them wants to kind of grab me from time to time. They want me to stay right there and get fixated on their plate, you know. But you get fixated on one plate, and you know what's going to happen? There's going to be 9 of them crashing to the ground while you've got the one spinning really fast and really cool. And as a wise master builder, what you've got to do is you've constantly, I told Brother Russ, and again, I hope you don't take this as complaining, because I think it's the greatest job in the world. But really, the challenge of the ministry is keeping an eye on everything, keeping everything flowing, finding the area where we're dropping off and short up, finding the area where we're going too fast and pulling back, keeping everything balanced so that it works and it grows and it fits and it stays together. And if that sounds easy, y'all just come see me. You know, you experts never, you know, you don't have one plate spinning, but you want to tell everybody else and you want to criticize the preacher all the time. Just, you have no inkling. If you've never done it, you don't know. Now, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, if somebody is doing it and they're doing it well and they say something and it's going to be not matched with what you want to do, why don't you just trust the guy? Okay? Because there's times you've got to pull things back and there's times you've got to pull things forward. And you know what? If we put everybody on a different part of that building out there and say build, and one area was going up faster than the other, and we didn't let the other area catch up pretty soon, that whole side would fall in and cave in and there wouldn't be anything to support it. It really is that. It really is that. That's a simplistic overview of the oversight. But, you know, just listen, work hard, be passionate. I'm glad you are. But also respond properly if something has to be fixed, or there has to be a little rebuke, or there has to be, no, we're not doing it that way. you may say, I don't see what it does to hurt this, but you're only looking at this, okay? And isn't it exciting? Man, it's great to be involved and to have a part of this. I mean, all of you men, and I have such respect for you, of my dad's generation, the older men in this church, and the ones that have just, you know what? I'm going to tell you something, folks. You younger couples, do you understand what we owe these people that have gone before us and built and provided us this place? When preachers come through here and they just look around and they just say, I mean, I talked to the brother, Boyle? He came over today and talked to me a little bit, and he's just going on about the church. And I mean, folks, these are guys that are all over the place, and they walk in a place like this, and they're like, is this real? And you don't know. You don't know. Okay? So be thankful for it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And be thankful. Then a long time ago, when a guy poured a foundation, he poured the right one.
Yes,
be thankful that God used a wise master builder to get this thing up and running. Be thankful for the generation of men that worked beside him. And listen, build on up, but use the right materials. I don't think Dad or his generation for one second would want to say to a younger, now I don't want you to, you just leave alone. No, they want us to build on up, but they want us to use the right materials. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Bible, and it's powerful. It's a sweet, sweet book of instruction that helps us to know how to do and what to do. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. This entire book has been talking about carnality and, Lord, the danger of it, the danger of the temporal, the earthly, the fleshly. And Lord, and now we're talking about the church and the building of the church and the people. May God, may we, each and every one of us, use proper building materials. Not only, Lord, in that part of the church that we're building, but as we build our own spiritual lives. Lord, because the fire will come. And the fires are going to come. And I pray, Lord, that once they sweep through, may we count it as a blessing. Perhaps some things would be burnt that needs to be burned. But Lord, I would pray that we wouldn't come and find nothing but ashes. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be considerate of that on every single thing that we do in every area. Lord, as the church begins to grow and ministries expand and we continue to go forward and build upward, Lord, we just want to make sure that when our grandchildren one of these days get it, we haven't created a fire trap for them, something that they can take and do the same with. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.